So in this series, Becoming Mature, and we're looking, you know, beginning of Ephesians, Paul has this great idea he shares with us about a church being the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That church is supposed to be the fullness of Jesus and to fill our whole community with God's love, right? And then we're in church, whether it's Maywood or somewhere else, right? You learn real quick, it's not a perfect place, right? C.S. Lewis had the joke about somebody complaining about church, this older lady, and he said, if you ever find a perfect church, leave it as quick as you can, because you're going to mess it up, you know, like is what he told this complaining lady. So that's the reality, what we live in, right? It's not what we hoped it would be. But in this series, we're taking the Bible seriously and saying, like, well, if that's the dream, is to be the fullness of Jesus, we can pray about that. We need to be praying about it, but we also need to obey things that God's telling us to do. And he's going to take us on a journey and transform us, right? And there's a lot of practicals in the stuff we've been reading about. Do this stuff, and God's going to take us together and make us like him. But we got to be signed up to change together, to do things we didn't used to do, things that we don't want to do necessarily, right? So we're going to jump into today's message, but first I got to give credit to a couple of guys that I'm pulling a lot of stuff from today. So we got this slide with a couple names on it. Kosuke, I'm going to probably butcher this, Koyama. He's a guy that was born in 1929, grew up in Tokyo. So like adolescence in a giant city that's getting firebombed like during World War II a bunch. Very different life than us, right? Different perspective. But he became a Christian at age 15 in Tokyo in 1945, I think. And borrowing some of his stuff from this book, 3 Mile Hour God, the first chapter there. And then George MacDonald is a Scottish guy from the 1800s, very different than the other guy. One of the things that makes George different than a lot of us is George had like a super spectacular relationship with his dad, and he really zeroes in on, like, I've only really heard one other person talk about God, our good father, so much. And would actually be Jesus. Jesus talks about God as Heavenly Father so much. And George MacDonald sounds like a little echoey of Jesus in that. And he has, I think, something to teach us about prayer that's really different than how I hear it Maywood a lot. But to stick with the guy from Japan first, the Koyama, if I can say his name right, he talks about God does things at a whole different pace than we do them. He talks about the children of Israel coming out of slavery. God takes them into this desert experience in the wilderness. And he's trying to teach them to trust him. And if you know that story from Exodus or from the first several books of the Bible, God's got those folks out there for 40 years. You ever hear anybody being like, I got this group of people, I'm going to try to teach them something. My plan is to teach them one thing, and we're going to spend 4 decades on it. Right? God's at a whole different pace. But he wasn't ready to move on with those folks until they had some level of trust in him. And the wilderness, you know, it's this place that's scary. You're not in total control. It's wide open. There's lots of possibilities, but there's also lots of danger. And for the Israelites in the desert, in the wilderness, there was also a lot of promise, a lot of provision. God literally, miraculously feeding them as they went. So there's danger and promise both. The way God sets things up for us, it isn't just all danger and we keep God like a good luck charm and just, oh my goodness, we just need God to save us from the danger. But it's also not all promise and happy endings either. It's this mix. That's where he transforms us, right? When things are beyond our control and there's real stakes and God's showing up in ways that we can't, we're living on promises, that's when we actually start to trust God, right? Think about even how trust has worked in your own relationships with other people. The people you trust the most, it's that you went through something hard and they came through for you. Like, if we're going to have a trusting relationship with God, we're going to have to go through some things that are dangerous, give God the chance to come through for us, right? A lot of us don't want to sign up for that sort of thing, right? And today, the passage I read, it might not sound dangerous and promising right at first. It's just a couple of verses out of Ephesians. I'd love for you to turn there in your own Bible. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It's our key passage for today. And I think we got a slide of it as well. It says, follow God's example, therefore. What's the therefore? If you hear last week, we talked about forgiveness. That's the therefore. And it's going to take us a step further. So if you weren't here last week, it's important. God expects us to forgive, just like God forgave us in Jesus, right? But he's moving forward. He says, following God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And we can just pause there for the slides. We're going to be here for a minute. There's a lot in these couple verses. Let's talk about the dangerous stuff first, though. He talks about walk in the way of love. And this guy I was quoting from Japan, he talks about the speed of God and God's love. He says it's a 3-mile-an-hour speed. I mean, where does he get that from? He says that's the speed that people walk at. And we can get into a car, go way faster, right? Cleveland has a story about a fast car from earlier this week, right? So, like, I mean, we got stories about cars, right? But in our society, we like to do things quick, right? We like to get machines and whatever other power we can get, other people, whatever, so we can get a whole lot done really, really quickly. We don't like things where we have to accept limitations, where the scenery doesn't change real fast, where our own thoughts and regrets and fears can keep up with us, where we gotta like stick around. We can't just escape. So a lot of us, whether we're moving fast physically or not, a lot of us try to go through life as fast as we can, turn off the silence, get as much done as we can, so we can feel good on the inside, right? I mean, it can't be healthy, right? When you gotta move fast and accomplish a lot to feel good about yourself, you're like, that's probably not healthy, right? But think about how God operates throughout the Bible, or even Jesus. God does this really slow thing through the Old Testament, trying to get a group of people ready for Jesus. It's slow, right? It's a lot of the same lessons over and over about trusting God and not forgetting him when things are good. And if the Israelites had to learn that over and over and over and over, like, I mean, we're probably not any different, right? When your whole life's falling apart, it's one thing to cry out to God. But when things are going pretty good, it's hard to actually prioritize God, whatever your lips are doing, right? Actually trust him. So here he says, walk in the way of love. Think about your last week, conversations you've had. Have you noticed somebody's having a hard time who didn't just come out right away and say they're having a hard time? Like, were you going slow enough that you picked up on the body language? Picked up on how they're talking or acting or working differently? Did you notice somebody needing help and actually have the space to give them the ride or to make them the meal or to write them the card, right? Sometimes I can have this advice monster inside of me where I think I've got answers and I want to give a lot of advice out. I found a great way to just cut out almost all my advice giving is if I can limit myself to say, like, if that's so good, like, go write them a note and send it to them. I don't write a lot of notes, right? Like, it slows me way down. Like, stuff I just want to be like, oh, you should change your life this way. When I filter it through the, like, pause, pray about it, go to the effort of getting out a sheet of paper and a pen and writing it down, it's like, you know, like, maybe it wasn't that amazing, right? So maybe I don't need to say it during small group or whatever, right? Like, if it fades inside of me that fast, is it really going to be that helpful for that other person? For a lot of us, though, we go through our lives really, really quick, run, 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 run. We don't walk in this way of love. And so we might be trying to do a lot, but we miss a lot of opportunities. You've got kids, Think about when you actually go on a walk somewhere with your kids, the conversation is different than when you're trying to get dressed and get breakfast and get out of the door, right? Because there's space for the silly questions. There's space for lots of stuff to have come up, right? And so I don't know what age your kids are, but like I was talking to a dad a couple weeks ago, and in small groups he had set a goal about reading the Bible with his kids. And I got to follow up with him, and like he's having these great conversations with his daughter now about the book of Proverbs, just because he's taking the time to sit down and read something with his daughter. Not rocket science, right? Like that's not, if, you know, most of us could sit down and read with a kid. But it's so, the reason we don't do it is it's so slow, right? Like it takes time. Just pay attention to yourself this week. Like if you got a car, force yourself to drive the speed limit and to fully stop at stop signs. For some of you, you'll be like, man, you're like clenching your wheel, right? Why is that? Like why is there the addiction to speed there, right? But for some others of us, it's like, oh, we go to the grocery store and you got to get in the shortest line, right? Or you got to even move lines. Like, we do all sorts of stuff to like make sure we don't do it slow. We go from thing to thing, trying to cram in as much as we can, right? Like on Friday this week, I was headed to a meeting, but I had some extra time. And then somebody, there was a little crisis, and I could have been like hero of the moment if I would have rushed to go be super pastor and then rushed to the next thing. And I just realized, like, I can't actually pull that off well. I just showed up early to the thing I was supposed to be at. And I realized, like, I showed up to the thing I'm supposed to be at early instead of a little late and in a totally different frame of heart than if I'd run and rush. And I realized, like, rushing me, like, was not going to be what that other person needed. I just had to realize, like, I can't help that person. But it's hard. Think about yourself. Like, it's hard to face a limitation and say, like, I can't do that today. So, this is a little, I don't know if trick is the right word. This is a thing that Christy and I will do with my wife and I with picking, if we're going to pick a place to eat, right? One of us will pick, like, give me a few options, and then the other one will pick from the options. The nice thing about that strategy is you don't wind up going somewhere you don't want to go, right? You pick a few places, then the other one picks from that list. Ideally, you know, you don't go to somewhere someone hates, at least, right? I want to give you like a couple options with God that you can try out this week on the walk and in the way of love. First option is, like, what if you, John Wooden has this quote, I'm going to butcher it a little bit, but basically he says, every day try to help somebody that can't repay you. Pretty simple idea, right? Like, help somebody who has no ability to repay you. But what if you got up every day this week and you said, like, I'm going to try to walk on the way low. I'm going to try to be there for somebody who can't repay me. It's going to require you to go slower. It's going to require you to have more flexibility. You get to the end of the day and you're like, either you missed it or maybe there wasn't anybody that needed help all day. I'd be surprised, but maybe. Then go. So that's option one. Maybe you'll help somebody. And I will tell you, if you ask Jesus, like, Jesus, give me somebody who can't repay me to help today, you're going to have a moment with Jesus that day. Like, helping that person, whether you're handing them some pizza and eating them with them, or you're giving them a ride somewhere, or you're connecting them with their next job or whatever it might be, Jesus is going to be there beside you as you're doing it. Because you asked him to, you're going to see it as an opportunity from him. But if you get through your whole day and you have it, God's given us some incredible weather, like for at least a few days. Like, go for a walk, literal walk with God. And why do I say to do that? Well, here it says walk in the way of love. And that got me thinking about, you know, God, when he created Adam and Eve, there's a little bit of time there where nothing was messed up, where they had a perfect relationship with God. And all of us have had somebody we're trying to get close to, whether it was for like a date or just for a friendship or whatever. But like one of the effective strategies there is like pay attention to the other person and figure out what they like and go do the thing they like with them. We want to have a better relationship with God. Like it's worth paying attention. Like what does God like to do? Maybe you've never had that thought, like thinking of God like a person, but it's healthy to do, right? And one of the things that sees in Genesis is when God has everything set up just the way he wants, and there's no sin and no crisis, God likes to go for a walk in the evenings with the people he created. I mean, it's cool, a little detail, right? And if everything's put together and there's no crisis for you to get to that day, like, why not just go for a walk with God and say, like, let's just chill out. It doesn't have to be a fancy place, just whatever block you live in, right? Go for a walk and say, like, I'm just here to hang out, God. I heard that you like walks, so here I am. Because here's the thing, God's going to start to slow you down, and you're going to actually start to hear him better, and God is noticing the people around you. And when God realizes that you're, you know, when Mallory's like got her radar up for like, who does God want me to help, or Amanda does, or whoever, like, CJ is going to get an opportunity that nobody else is going to get, right? Because God's going to be like, oh, I'm going to move this person who really needs help to CJ's path today because CJ's actually listening to me. Because CJ's becoming a person who walks in love. It's not about being fast. It's not about helping everybody. Sometimes people got really big problems that we can't help, right? Or we can just do something small. But if you do the small thing that God gives you an opportunity to do, you just keep doing it, right? So walk in the way of love. We go a touch further with this. It says, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, sacrifice to God. Last week we did the Lord's Supper. I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. We were focused on what Jesus did for us. I just want to hit this really quick. As slow as God was with the people of Israel and loving them and walking with them, this guy I'm quoting from, he talks about Jesus goes slower than that. He says you can't get slower than nailed down. It's just a gruesome image, right? This hammer picture coming up. This idea like Jesus literally got nailed to a cross, sacrificed himself for us. That the greatest love that God's ever shown humanity is Jesus not having any mobility. It's hard to look at this picture of like a hammer, nails, but to realize that like God, I think we're getting there maybe, Nick. Yeah, there we go. So, and that's, I couldn't find like legit Roman nails, right? But like, think about that. God who has all power, Jesus who has all power, who can heal blind people, who could solve this or that. Like, how does he best show God's love? He sacrifices himself for us. He stops for us. Like, the thing you need to do this week to show God's love to somebody else, it might not be this giant, heroic, powerful gesture. Like, it might be something that makes you feel weak or stuck. Or like you're giving up your rights. Maybe you're protecting somebody else's reputation, right? You're serving them that way. I want to take us, so I quoted a lot from Koyama, or like his ideas, but I want to take us to some stuff from George MacDonald, because here's the thing, if you try this week really hard to go love other people, but you're not really filled up with God's love, like you're going to get dry pretty fast. And the whole passage we read, it was all about how we're God's dearly loved children, right? Follow God's example as dearly loved children. And George MacDonald has this sermon about prayer, and he actually insults something that I hear a lot at Maywood. The thing I hear most about prayer at Maywood that like bothers me is I hear so many people talk about, like, I'm not selfish in my prayers. I never pray for myself. It sounds really mature. The problem is, like, it's just not the way Jesus taught us to be. And George MacDonald talks about, he really rails on it. If you want to go, it's in the public domain because it's so old. If you want to go Google it. But, like, he talks about, like, it might actually come because you think you're further along than you are. There's, like, maybe a spiritual pride that you can handle your stuff, and you're just going to pray for other people's stuff. But George MacDonald says, if it's a big enough deal to hang a wish on, it's a big enough deal to pray about. Like, if you're going to pull over to Quick Trip and hope that they have, you know, peach non-sugar tea or whatever, you might as well say a prayer as you're walking into Quick Trip that it will be there. Because if you're going to pull your car over for it, like, you might as well be praying about it, right? When you pray about it, you might feel like silly, like, this is so insignificant. Why would the God of the universe care about this? Well, here's some passages George MacDonald brings up. Flip to them. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be caring or, but you don't get stressed out about anything, but don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. Like, your requests, the stuff that's given you anxiety, the stuff that you're working on, the stuff you're trying to get done, it says bring it to God. And petition, you know, we don't think about petition a lot this way, but it really means asking over and over and over. Like, when someone gets you to sign the petition outside of Walmart or whatever, what they're trying to get to happen is like 1,000 people to ask the same thing. That verse is saying just ask God over and over and over. If you're single and you don't want to be single, tell God what you're looking for. Ask him for it. God may push back on you, like, do you think a lady like that would really want you, Jake? You know, like, maybe you need to work on yourself. You know, like, I mean, God will have a conversation with you, right? Sometimes I pray about stuff and I realize how bad my heart is once I start talking to God about it. But not talking to God about it is not the right thing. Talk to God about the stuff you want, the stuff you're afraid of, the stuff you're desiring. Ask him for it. There's no wrong thing in that. 1 Peter 5:7 talks about, like, cast your cares on God because he cares for you, right? Like, God cares about you. Matthew 7, this would be worth looking up if you're one of those, like, I don't pray selfish prayers. 7 through 12, Jesus commands us, like, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And in case you're, like, going to super spiritualize that and be like, well, I'm sure he's talking about revival in Kansas City. Like, well, we should be praying about that. That'd be great. But the very next verses are about, like, which of you, even though you're evil, don't give good gifts to your kids. When your kids ask for stuff, you take care of them. How much more is God going to take care of you, right? So, again, same passages in case you want to write them down, but flip ahead a little bit to this next picture. So these are my twins when they're, like, toddlers. And the dynamic between little kids and parents when it's healthy is that kids ask for a lot. If you've been around any kids and they're not asking their parents for a lot of stuff, it's because something's actually broken. Like, if you came over, like, we got to foster Samuel and Sequoia before we got to adopt them. So, like, we had, like, caseworkers coming over the house, like, watching us, right, while that's going on. When they were this age, especially, even now they ask for a ton of stuff, but when they were this age, like, if they didn't ask me for anything, that caseworker would have been taking notes on that. Like, what did this dad do to make him scared of him that they won't ask him to put jelly on their toast or whatever, right? It's like an insane amount of help, give me, I want. Like, maybe they'll say please or something. You can maybe get them to be polite. You can't get them to stop asking questions if you're being loving. Like, there's not a loving relationship between a kid and a caretaker that doesn't involve the kid asking for a lot. Like, that's the dynamic. That's healthy. None of us are at the, like, adult moved out of the house stage in our relationship with God, right? Like, none of us are like, I'm good at doing all the stuff my father taught me. Like, I don't need any help from my father. I don't know if we ever get to that stage. I still will ask my mom, and when my dad was alive, I still ask them for more stuff than I would most other relationships, right? It's easier to ask them for help than most people, right? I know not everybody has a good relationship with their own parents. But the truth is, like, where are we at spiritually as Christians? We need to not think too highly of ourselves. Like, I think I'm probably doing good if I'm in the toddler phase. I can walk some places, I can do a few things God showed me, but I'm really not safe to be left alone without God. And, like, anything I'm doing, I really need God making sure I don't mess it up. I haven't gotten past that. And I just think, like, we need to see in our prayer life, it should be full of a lot of help me with this. I want this. Will you please give me this? Because when you start praying specifically that way, not that you don't pray for other people, but when you start praying for your own wants and desires, God's going to talk to you about your wants and desires. It's going to be healthy to, when you say some stuff out loud to God, you're going to realize how, like, ooh, I need to change. And then other things he's going to give you, and you're going to like, that was so selfish and petty. I can't believe God gave me that. And it's going to make you thankful and grateful, which is a better way to be on a Thursday afternoon or whenever it is that he answers your prayer, right? It's not going to hurt you at all. This is the way, like, Jesus taught us. It's like we start by asking God to help us, right? Last thing I want to touch on before we get cleared out is this little picture of these shoes walking. Most people don't walk hardly anywhere nowadays, right? Because we have all these other options to do stuff faster. God has all sorts of options to do stuff faster. And he just doesn't seem to like to work at that speed. And my guess is there's a relationship in your life that is really important, where God's given you somebody that you really care about and that you can have a big impact on. And what if you would take like a walk method with them? Like maybe you guys aren't into walking, you're not outdoors people or whatever, but whether it's with your little son, whether it's with your elderly parent, whether it's with a coworker who gets mad at everybody else, whoever it is, or like God's made some sort of connection between you and them. Like what would be the equivalent of walking in love with them? Like, if you're a parent, we've all probably realized our kids like to talk at some certain point of the day. It might be when they're supposed to go to sleep. It might be when everybody's supposed to be sleeping and it's too early in the morning. I don't know. But what if you changed your schedule this week to where you were actually a good listener when your kid wants to talk? Or for that coworker, it seems like they trust you even though they don't trust anybody else. What have you thought about them at some point when you weren't at work? And you thought about like how to make the most of your time together. They weren't just an afterthought for you this week. Like that's the stuff of walking, right? It's slower, but there's more space for relationship to happen. So before we close out, I want you to picture somebody in your mind. You're like, I'm going to walk in some sort of, I'm going to go slow with that person this week. I'm going to go so slow that there's space for love, right? So I know we're not kindergartners or something, but we're going to kind of be childlike, right? Let's close our eyes. Let's picture the person's face, right? Who are you going to go slow with this week? You guys, open up your hands. I want to pray a prayer because we don't have to go this way alone, right? Just like you don't leave toddlers alone when you're baking something, right, or whatever. Like, God's going to walk right through this with us if we'll do it with him, right? So I'm going to pray that the Trinity, God, the Father, and this Holy Spirit would be with us. So open up your hands if you want to receive that. But may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.